A reading from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things beneath his feet, and gave them as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
On a kind of a night, can you hear me? We're having some trouble with the microphones. You'd probably be happy. On a kind of a light note, I wanted to open with a little... It was an email that was sent to me by one of the parishioners, and it's kind of cute. It's written by a little 8-year-old boy in Chula Vista, California, for his third grade homework assignment. And he's going to explain God to us. But he has some interesting insight into this whole question of the ascension into heaven. But just to give you a flavor of how he writes, one of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die, so there'll be enough people to take care of things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they're smaller and easier to make. That way he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to talk and walk. He can just leave that to mothers and fathers. Cute, right? He says, Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on water and performing miracles and trying to teach the people who didn't want to learn about God. And they finally got tired of him preaching to them, and they crucified him. But he was good and kind, like his father. And he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them. And God said, okay. And God did not let Jesus stay in the grave, but raised him from the dead. His dad, God, appreciated everything that he had done and all his hard work on earth. So he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven. So he did. And now he helps his dad out by listening to prayers and seeing things which are important for God to take care of and which ones he can take care of himself without having to bother God. Like a secretary. Only more important. And he finishes, you can pray anytime you want, and they are sure to help you because they got it worked out, so one of them is on duty at all times. It's a neat little thing that they sometimes out of the mouths of babes comes great wisdom. He understood that the Lord had to go from us. That's what the ascension is all about. It's an absolute essential that the ascension take place, that he goes. And when he goes body and soul into that other side, into that God area, that other dimension. Some of you were here last Saturday night when I talked about that book, Proof of Heaven, that bestseller. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for a while. And just to recap the story very quickly, because some of you were not here, Dr. Eben Alexander, great brain surgeon on the East Coast, wrote this book to describe what happened to him. He was a brain surgeon who really attributed all consciousness to the brain. So for him, there was no soul, there was no God, there was no heaven, there was no life after death. Everything was in the brain, love, hate, emotions, whatever. And he was an atheist. He was kind to atheists. He wasn't aggressive. But then he had a problem. He got struck by a type of meningitis that began to eat away at the neocortex of his brain, where that which makes us all human. And he was in a coma for 7 days. And according to all the tests, there was no brain movement in that 7 days. They never say dead. They said the brain was absent in the 7 days. So for him, if that were true, nothing would have been happening. But it was quite the contrary. During those 7 days, he went into the other side in a near-death experience. And he experienced heaven. And he experienced the beauty of heaven, the knowledge of heaven, the loveliness of heaven, wonderful people around. And he even had a conversation with God in which there were no words exchanged. It was just that he felt like he was enveloped by God in God's life. And he could feel the love. And he knew that people were praying for him because he could feel it. He could sense the love that was coming from his families on earth. It's quite a moment. When I read the book, I've been talking about this book all week, and I even checked in. He has a blog on the internet under Alexander, Eben Alexander, and he tells us some things in those blogs. But anyway, he didn't tell me anything I didn't already know, that there is an afterlife, that there is another dimension, that when our time on earth is up, we move into that other dimension, eventually body and soul, just like Jesus does in the ascension. That much I knew. But, you know, in the very first reading today that Jordan read, there was a statement by Jesus. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. This Dr. Alexander sees himself now as a very special person, not because he has any vanity or vainglory about it, but he thinks that the Lord picked him out for a reason. Because he was a brain specialist and understood the brain, although he understood it wrongly, as he would now admit, and because he was a man who did not believe, he believes that God zeroed in on him for a very special reason. I think he believes now he is to be a witness of this other life to people like himself who, caught up in science and sometimes the limitations of science, deny God's existence, deny heaven. And he's a witness now. He's a witness to me in one way, not because I said I learned anything new. I mean, the specifics that he talks about in there and the way he describes things is really wonderful. And if you have a chance to read it, I think you'll find it helpful. But it won't tell you anything new. But what he does is remind us all that this is for real, that we are believers, and we really believe there's an afterlife, and we believe there's another dimension. And we believe that Jesus is in that dimension now, like the little boy said, working with his father as his secretary and listening to prayers and granting prayers. That there's a world there our minds can't get around. And it's a wonderful world, one to look forward to. But we need to witness to Jesus Christ here on earth. That's what Jesus is saying as we're leaving. Not to witness sometime down the line when they'll be in heaven with him, but to witness to him now in Jerusalem, Fremont Center, Mundelein, Libertyville, Grays Lake, Chicago, New York, to the ends of the earth, to carry the message out. There are all kinds of people who witness. I know you do. My guess is that every one of you could, if you were had an opportunity to do, could tell a story of where something you did really spoke about the Lord to other people. You may not go around bragging about it, but it's there. There's a man, have you been following that story about the burial of that bomber from Patriot Day in Boston? They hadn't been able to find a place to bury him. Nobody wanted him in the cemeteries. They didn't want this man who had perpetrated such a violent and a terrible thing to be near their families whom they loved and cherished, even though they had died. And they couldn't find, they managed to find a funeral director who was brave enough to take him in and prepare him according to the Muslim way for burial, but they couldn't get a grave. And one man came forward who lived not far from there, And he offered, his family had an unused plot, and he offered that for the burial of this man. He did so not because he agreed with what the man had done, but because his mother had been a staunch Christian, had taught Sunday school for many, many years, 30 years. And she had taught him what Jesus had said, that you love your enemies. And he had gotten a message. And when he offered this this vacant plot for this man to be buried, whom everybody is down on, he was loving his enemies. He was bearing witness. He was putting aside his own emotions and bearing witness to the words of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, that we must love our enemies. Jesus is the only one who ever said that. Jesus is the only one who ever demands that of us. Well, the man, if you've read the story carefully, has been a recipient of some nice things people have said to him. But many, many, many people have said some pretty negative things to him. He's gotten some threats. He's gotten a lot of bad mouthing. But he did it. He was bearing witness, even though it was at a cost, doing something that, you know, pulled at him a little bit because his own emotions are involved in what happened in Boston that day. And but he was bearing witness to Jesus. One final example of people who bear witness, you moms, your mothers. You bear witness by the love that you give us, by the pain through which we have come into this world and which you accepted. You bear witness to us by your patience, and even when you lose your patience. I've heard that mothers occasionally lose their patience with their children. Is that true? I think it is. I served for 5 years. My first appointment was at Maryville Academy in Des Plaines, Illinois. And I worked with the grammar school boys at that time for 5 years. And that was all day, 24/7. We got one day a week off. And when I first got there, I was kind of naive. And when the kids misbehaved, I would sometimes I'd pretend I was getting angry at them. By the time I left, I didn't have to pretend anymore. If they did something wrong, it could be some little thing, one day I would blow my top. Next day, they could do the same thing, and I was fine. I figured it's time for me to go. I was able to leave at that time, but I know it isn't always easy for mothers. So we're very grateful to mothers, because you're the witnesses about how much God has patience with us. We're all sinners. We keep doing the same thing over and over again. I know, because I go to confession, and people come to me to confession, and we say the same things. And God has patience with us. And God has love for us. And God has forgiveness for us. And our mothers are witnesses to that. So there's witnesses all over, my brothers and sisters, and you are the ones. Sometimes it's an obligation. Sometimes it's a difficult obligation to carry. Sometimes it's easy. The Lord promises He will send the Spirit. He will be with you as you go out to be witnesses all the way to the ends of the earth.